Good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate everyone who is able to be here today. It's a good number here. We have those who are worshiping remotely, and we are glad that you are with us. 62 are joining us remotely from Oklahoma, Texas, Iowa, Washington, Tennessee, and the unknown state, and we're glad that you are with us. We have some visiting here with us today, and we're glad that you are here. Anytime we can have new faces and newcomers come and join with us as we gather at God's feet to worship Him and learn about Him, we love that. And so we look forward to getting to know you afterwards before you leave today. I wanted to point out that it's been a crazy week, as you know, with the weather and all. And unrelated to the weather, you may have noticed on the song list on the front page that there was, it may have looked to you like a mystery song. There's parentheses and nothing in between the parentheses. And so I had someone ask me, what's our mystery song today? Well, we've been fighting with our church computer. So this is not just an oversight that none of the three staff could catch that type of typo. But the computer's been fussing with us. And this was the best we got this week. We were unable to edit past that point, so normally scripture would go there. So just wanted to, anyway, the computer won this week. We'll see what happens next week, but we're in a battle for sure. We're in a series about the beauty of submitting, and I titled it this because we really struggle in our society with the concept of submission. We struggle with appreciating submitting. We don't understand that as a culture. And so I want to run through a little bit of what we covered last week and then go a little further this week. Hebrews 13:17 was our scripture reading. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. So you notice there, the leaders have a role, and it's different from the rest. It's different from the members, the saints. The leaders will give an account for watching over your soul. You and I, and I'm not an elder, so I've mentioned that before. I'm not a biblical. The biblical word for elder is the equivalent to pastor and overseer, and I'm not that. But our elders will give an account for that. That is their role, and so we want to submit to them in a way that makes them glad that they are serving us and serving to watch over us. We looked at Genesis chapter 2, where God, you know, go all the way back to creation, Genesis 2, and see how did God make us? And you know, are there things that apply to us still today from how He created Adam and Eve? And so He made Adam, of course, from dust. And then verse 20, when we read on, I want to back up just a minute. If you look in Genesis 2, God makes Adam from dust, and then He puts Adam in the Garden of Eden. He gives Adam the rules of the Garden of Eden, telling him what he could eat of, what he could not eat of. He gives him work to do. He's to work the garden and keep the garden. And then Adam names the animals. And so he names all the animals. And Adam looks among the animals, and there's not a helper fit for him. And then God is going to make Eve. But verse 20 tells us there was not a helper found for Adam. It's not that God was looking. God knew none of the animals would work. But Adam didn't know. And so a helper was not found. God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. He takes one of his ribs, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, He made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And so notice that Adam, he names the animals, and he names woman. He names this type. And it's a different type than the male type. And it's a beautiful thing as God created us, how He created us. And in those roles that He gave us all the way back to creation, even before the first sin. In 1 Corinthians 11, we looked at this passage last week. It's a challenging passage. One thing to understand about it is the word head is used in 1 Corinthians. There's just 15 verses in this passage from verses 2 to 16. Just 15 verses, and the word head is used 9 times. And that tells us if we don't understand anything about the passage. Many think it's talking about a veil, and maybe it is. It doesn't specifically mention veil. There's a Greek word for veil, and that's not used. But whether it's talking about veil or the length of hair and what that indicated in that culture and in that time, the point of the passage is about headship. It's about submission. It's about respect. And they were having issues with respect. And so Paul gives this statement in verse 3. I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. That's a statement that pertained to their problem, but it also pertains to us. It's about headship. In verse 4, he gets into their problem. A man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. The Greek word there literally means having down over or hanging down. And so is Paul talking about the length of hair? Is he talking about a covering of some sort? Is he talking about a veil? So we go on to verse 5. The wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it is the same as if her head were shaven. And so we get into now where women shaving their heads, and there's reason to believe, and scholars say that in that time the prostitutes, the religious prostitutes, priestesses of Aphrodite in that temple would have their hair cut very short or shaven. And so some say that the issue here was women throwing off conventional and even biblical roles and submission and being disrespectful and being brazen. And so if that's the issue, that makes a lot of sense with what Paul is saying here. We'll get in a moment, we did last week, about these wives are, and the Greek word could be women, translated women, but they're praying and prophesying. That sounds like they're doing that in a service. That sounds like leading in a service. And yet, understand Scripture here is not, it doesn't tell us how they're praying. It doesn't tell us that they're leading prayer. It doesn't tell us the setting. With the miraculous gift of prophecy, it doesn't tell us when and where ladies are performing that miraculous gift. But if we read on, verse 7 says, talking about men and women, and for a man to cover his head, should not cover his head because he is the image and glory of God. But a woman is the glory of man, for man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. And so God has made us different. That goes all the way back to creation, how he made us. I want you to notice the word glory. He is the image and glory of God. That's from the Greek word doxa, and it means glory, honor, praise. He is the glory of God. Woman is the glory of man. At our house, we've had one dog for a while now, Leon. He's a Yorkshire Terrier. And we recently got a second dog, Noelle, and she's a mix between Cocker Spaniel and Poodle. Cockapoo is the term there. So Noelle is our second dog now. And 99% of why we got a second dog is because Stephanie wanted a second dog. But but 1%, there's an added bonus or a thought before we got this second dog, which was, you know, our first dog, he has a lot of anxiety. He's good in a lot of ways, but in the ways that he's not good, it wears on us a little bit. So anyway, he doesn't fully understand how to just relax and be a dog. So that part of that 1% was, you know, with a second dog, this could help the first dog. And yet, so here's what that looks like. The second dog is a puppy, and she likes to play, and she's a puppy through and through. And she wants to play with Leon, and Leon does not want to play. And sometimes one of them will be playing and one of them's not playing. And so they'll run around and growl at each other. And she's having a ball. And he is not. He is not playing. But he's not really, he's all bark and no bite. So he's really, he barks, but he doesn't have anything to back it up. So she just loves it. She's having a great time. And so The truth is, what was intended to be a blessing to Leon doesn't always, he doesn't understand that. He doesn't treat it that way. He doesn't understand that to embrace this new addition to the family, that this is okay, this is good. And we live in a society that doesn't understand the beauty of our roles and our relationships. They don't, our society doesn't understand the beauty of submission. And that's a shame, because God always intended it to be glorious. So let's read on verse 14. And I had some questions about this after last week, so let me see if I can be helpful. Verse 14, does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it is a disgrace for him, but if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? By the way, that's the same doxa, same Greek word. It is her glory. For her hair is given to her for a covering. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. So some say that this whole passage is about length of hair, not that God is so concerned about length of hair, but what it communicated for a woman to wear her hair very short, that it communicated brazenness and boldness and lack of submission, rebelliousness, that if a man had very long hair, that it communicated he was wanting some other role than he had. And so what was it communicating? That's the issue. But whether this passage is about a veil, whether it's about hair, it's definitely about headship and respect. And so notice that God, it doesn't give a, we're not measuring the length of hair. Scripture has no measurement for that. Some have asked me, is my hair too short? Is there, you know, does the Bible say my hair should be whatever, this or that? And the takeaway from this passage is, men, you were created for a role. Look like men. And I don't know any men in our congregation that don't look like men. And I had some ask me. And I don't know any women in our congregation that don't look like women. Because if, so here's the point, if in your hairstyle you're trying to carry out some role that's not what you were created, and you're doing so in rebellion, then there's an issue. And so God is telling us, you have a role and a responsibility in your gender. That's the principle of this chapter, especially in this passage. And so, headship, submission is beautiful, it's honorable. When Scripture says honor the emperor, which would be the king, the emperor, our president, we are to honor President Biden. As Christians, are we not? Honor President Biden. We don't honor our president because we believe he's better than we are. Submission is not about someone being better. It's about their role being different. You don't honor the officer that pulls you over in traffic because you believe he or she is better than you. You honor them because they're in a place of authority. And we do it out of respect for God. And that's why we honor our head. Let's flip to three chapters later. Let me hit this real quick. In the same letter, so there's concern or there's confusion about women praying and prophesying, and that sounds like they're leading. 1 Corinthians 14, three chapters later in verse 33, for God is not a God of confusion but of peace, as in all the churches. By the way, both sections have this phrase, as in all the churches. But as in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they're not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. And I have to say, this sounds very, it sounds very old-fashioned, but it sounds very disrespectful to women in our current cultural mindset, and it affects all of us. When I read this, it sounds, there's a voice in the back of my head that says, Elliot, you can't say that anymore. Right? We have this political correctness that is training us for how to think and how to be and how to act. And this scripture sounds very disrespectful, but it's simply speaking to roles that God intended for the church. Our question is, how long did God intend it? And so understand, this is in the same letter as where Paul talks about ladies praying and prophesying. And so this answers some of that question. Well, evidently they can lead in worship. They're praying and prophesying. This passage tells us, no, our roles are still intact. And it references the old law, but notice it doesn't say because of the old law. It doesn't say that ladies should be in, submit in roles in worship because of the old law. It says, as the law also says. What that means is that was the old covenant. This is 1 Corinthians written in the new covenant. It continues. This principle continues is what that, this is what Paul is saying. It was in the old covenant. It is still in the new covenant. Let's flip to 1 Timothy 2, another passage that's comes up on this topic, 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. And following in verse 8 says, I desire that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. So this passage will talk about men, and it will talk about women, it will talk about roles, and it will talk about creation. When it talks about men and holy hands, in Scripture, oftentimes or sometimes hands will be referenced to speak to how a person lives, their morality, and the message is, and I've unfortunately seen where a Christian man is not acting like a Christian Saturday, but they come and lead in worship on Sunday. And men, the message here is, we've been given a role to lead, and we need to lead in our walk with God. And when we stand before God's people and lead, our hands need to be holy, meaning our life needs to be holy. It's not going to be perfect. There's not a man that stands up here that feels worthy. Not a single one. But God is telling us, you need to set an example. You need to show an example. And too often in churches, ladies are more spiritual than men. And it's not, I'm not saying men should be more spiritual than ladies. I'm saying the ones with the role of leading need to lead and need to have that heart of love for God. It's a role we've been given. And men have a responsibility. This passage talks about anger or quarreling. It's a weakness of men. Oftentimes, anger is a weakness. And Scripture says a man's anger doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. And so I remind, you know, the men on this topic, when the topic of submission comes up, oftentimes so much time is spent on ladies that we fail to focus on the other half of that message. Men, are we leading? Are we leading well? Are we standing where God needs us to stand? Can our families look to us for spiritual guidance? And can they follow, if they follow us, are they following Christ? We need to be godly examples. I want to just reference one quick example. Many could be given, but one quick one. In 1 week, we're going to be watching, some will be watching this thing called a Super Bowl. And part of the attraction with the Super Bowl anymore, which is just kind of amazing and ironic, but it's the commercials, because we live in a commercialized society, and so many dollars are spent on commercials, and they have entertainment value now, at least on that day they do. But as we watch the Super Bowl, some things are not what a Christian man should watch. And so this is an example, but the application goes broadly. And men, I just want to say, Satan, he attacks all of us. And as men, there are times we need to pause. If you have a pause button, we need to hit the pause button. If there's a fast forward button, we need to hit the fast forward button. We need to rise to the level that Christ would have us. And if Christ would go right or go left, we need to follow. Let's go to verse 9. This passage deals with apparel of ladies. Likewise, also the women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel. It mentions braided hair. I'll get into this just briefly, but I highlighted respectable apparel because if you don't understand anything else about this part, these two words tell us quite a bit. They tell us that they were having an issue with disrespectable apparel. Disrespectable. There was an issue of respect that was not being followed here. So what was disrespectable? Braided hair and gold. Notice braided hair and gold, or pearls, or costly attire. So the hair and gold, in that culture, there would be a few women with great wealth, and those with wealth would braid gold strands into their hair. And so the gold and the braid go together. They would wear pearls, costly attire. So you would have, you talk about the 1%, it would be about maybe 1% in a place of poverty, which would be common in the first century. And most of your ladies would come with one or two outfits that they own. They would wear one. I mean, that might be their only one, or they might have another. And then a very, very few would have wealth. And they were flaunting that wealth, evidently, because this talks about don't do that. But with wear what is proper for women who profess godliness and good works. And so it makes sense that this was an issue they were having. Now, you say, well, if we can braid our hair now, why do we follow this next part? Let's read it. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. And some say, preacher, this part is because that church was having an issue. And I would say, I try to see that here. Is that the case? Is Paul simply saying to one isolated situation, hey, you guys, you need to do it this way? And yet, when you read his words, they don't read that way. Verse 12, he says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. That doesn't sound like he's just speaking to this situation. But let's read on. Really, verse 13 is most helpful. Because in verse 13, this is where Paul goes all the way back to creation. So, before we do that, understand that the argument has been made, or the position has been made, that maybe the roles of male leadership in worship, in the home, maybe those roles were a part of the fall in the garden, that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there were certain consequences, and maybe that was a result of the fall. And it would last through the Old Testament and the Old Covenant all the way up to the cross. But in the cross, remember, Scripture says there's neither male nor female, slave nor free, Jew nor Greek. In the church, that in the New Covenant, it would throw off those burdens. And in the New Covenant, there would be harmony and equality of roles. You may or may not have heard that. The issue is, or the problem with that being true, is Paul's writing. He writes two different letters in the New Covenant. This is in the New Covenant time by the inspired writer Paul. And both of them refer to creation. Adam was formed first, then Eve. The other one we looked at earlier in 1 Corinthians 11, man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Both refer to not only creation, but before sin in creation. Before the fall. They both refer to creation, which tells us this wasn't about their situation. These principles were not just about their culture. It goes all the way back to before culture existed. Some ask the question, what about Phoebe? Was she not a deacon in the church at Cenchreae? And I'll just quickly point out the word translated here is the same word. The word that's translated servant, diakonon, is from the same. It's the same word that's translated deacon in 1 Timothy 3. We find a couple occasions in 1 Timothy 3 it's translated deacon. And in Philippians 1:1. And I say translated, actually I should say transliterated. Because the word deacon in the English is not a translated word. It's a created word. You notice how it sounds like diakonon, deacon. It's a created word. The translation of the word diakonon is servant. And so I just cover all that to say that was Phoebe a deacon in the church? Well, she was a servant. And this word, the only way to know, was it an office in the church, like we read in 1 Timothy 3 and Philippians 1:1? Was it an office in the work, in the church? And the only thing that would tell us whether it's an office or just a servant is context. You remember when Jesus turned water into wine and his mother told the servants, she said, "Servants, do whatever he tells you." The word translated servant there is diakonon, same word. Christ is referred in Romans 15:8 as a servant. Christ became a servant to the circumcised, same word, diakonon. So this passage doesn't help us in this question about, you know, if maybe Phoebe was a deacon. Some make, there was a comment made in class last week, and I appreciate this comment. Incidentally, when we analyze Scripture to find truth, and we have new and different thoughts, and some say, well, you know, maybe it's this, maybe we've misunderstood this, let's go look at it again. Truth is never in danger from scrutiny. When someone wants to say, hey, preacher, what about, I know we've done this for ages, but let's look at Scripture. I've heard this, and I wonder, could we have had it wrong? My answer to that is, let's look. And let's relook. And let's relook. And let's look again. Let's keep studying. None of us are perfect, and none of us are perfect in our understanding, but this is. And so let us keep going back to it. I'll share this quickly and we'll wrap it up, but have made this point about, since Jesus elevated women, and Jesus absolutely elevated women, and I would say he did that because they were mistreated. Ladies in the first century and culture around the world were mistreated. They were, instead of there being roles, they were pushed further. And Jesus meets the woman at the well and uses her to convert a whole town in Samaria. He elevated her. Jesus had Mary at his feet and Martha preparing the food, complaining, and he commended Mary. He elevated her. Jesus had a sinful woman anointing his feet at a meal where he was the honored guest, and there was complaints, and he took up for her. He elevated her. Jesus on Resurrection Sunday, when there were witnesses to see his resurrection and the apostles needed to know about it, he appears to the women first. That's quite an honor. He elevated them. And so since Jesus elevated women, should we take what he did in his words more highly than an inspired writer's words later? And this is where I'm going with this question. And the answer to that is, understand something. In Scripture, Jesus' words came from the Father. Jesus never spoke his own words. He didn't speak his own message. He spoke what God told him to. And the inspired writers spoke what the Holy Spirit guides them to do from the Father. Every part of this is from God. And no part has more weight than another part. And so the fact that Jesus elevated women and Paul reinforced roles and submission, those two don't conflict. They don't disagree with each other. I want to make this point that if men historically had treated women with the dignity and honor that they deserve, or that they should have, if men historically had treated women better, we would not have our modern-day feminism. Now, this is Eliot talking. I believe that. Men, if we had done better, I don't mean we weren't there, but if men had done better, there would not be, I don't think, modern-day feminism. You understand the message from that movement, that women are told, you don't need men, you don't need a man. It's a teaching of independence. Contrast that with what God told Adam. God looked at Adam and he said, you need help. You need help. There's a message to ladies. Ladies, you don't need help. God's message to Adam was, you need help. And the truth is, we all need help. We're not independent of each other, and Scripture teaches that. Man comes from woman, every man from a mother. We need help. We need each other, and God set us up to be able to help each other. A husband and a wife, we'll get into this next week. God made us different so we could complement each other in our roles and form one great unit. And that's how God created us, with different roles, different jobs. In this congregation, we don't prohibit women from leading because women are not capable. We prohibit it because God prohibits it. We want to honor God. And I want to say to the ladies, when you let men lead here, you honor God and you honor the men here. It doesn't happen without the beauty of submission. And it is a beautiful thing. We all need to understand that more and more. And then finally, we're going to sing a song about having God lead us, have thine own way. Men, we are called to a place of responsibility, a place of leading. And as I don't know if there's a greater need for women to understand what God wants from them, or is there a greater need for men to understand what God wants from men? What is God calling you to do in your Christian walk? And the answer is be an example and serve. Everyone serves. We all serve. We're going to sing this song, and if there's something on your heart that we could lift up to God on your behalf, we'd like to do that. If there's one here, maybe you have something unrelated to this lesson, something heavy that we could pray for you about. Maybe someone's here this morning and has never had your sins washed away, never given your life to Christ. You've been waiting, thinking this needs to happen or that needs to happen. Let's do it today while we stand and sing.
Have thine own.